Hello and welcome to the Latte Lounge podcast on Radio Gorgeous with me, Josephine Pembroke, and the founder of the Latte Lounge.
Me, Katie Taylor.
So, hi. Let's just run through, Katie, what's going on the Latte Lounge podcast today. First of all, you're going to tell us about what's been happening in the Lounge this last year. And then we're going to talk to cancer survivor Jodie and her mum Adele. And then, Katie, you're going to tell me plans for Latte Lounge in 2019. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here to do our first joint podcast officially. So thanks for having me, Josephine.
It's an absolute pleasure. So for people that don't know about the Latte Lounge, let's just give them a little bit of background information. And then you're going to tell us about what's been going on in the last year.
So the Latte Lounge is an online forum for women over 40, and it was set up 2.5 years ago by me as a place for women to come to talk about all midlife health issues or family issues or personal issues. And then we now have a website as well. We've got about 15,000 members on the Facebook group, and now I'm excited that we've got podcasts so we can actually bring the lounge to life a bit.
Great. And what do you... What's your main subjects you cover there? You say over 40. I mean, that could be anything.
Mm. Look, women come to the Facebook group for absolutely anything, all sorts of conversation. They do tend to come a lot about health. So it's their own health or the health of their children, be it mental health or physical health, but also everything from fashion to fitness to, you name it, anything, recommendations for doctors or plumbers or
I suppose also it's like an advanced mum's net, isn't it? It's like people have grown out of that and now they want somewhere when they've got the teenagers and when they've got the 20 somethings.
Definitely, it's almost like the next stage up, and actually we're the sandwich generation, so we've got loads of probably more complicated problems than when we had little babies. So
tell us about when it started. What was the first reaction? Was it a Facebook group?
So I started it 2.5 years ago because I had gone through, I've mentioned it before on my podcast with you, perimenopausal symptoms, and I needed somewhere to turn to sort of discuss whether anyone else had felt the same. And it's just snowballed really quickly. And I think it's just not a coincidence that, us midlife women grew up following, groups for mums, with young babies. And now we're all looking for something, different. And I just wanted it to be a much more sort of supportive platform where we can actually, signpost people and help them. And so it's doing great.
Fantastic. So tell us what's been going on in
2018. We're nearly there.
I'm already thinking 2019. I don't know about you.
And I've got my shopping list. It's been the most amazing year, actually, because we started off in February just sort of setting up some subgroups, smaller sort of Facebook subgroups, because there were a lot of women looking for jobs. There were lots of single women. There were women looking for jobs for their kids. And also, people often want to buy and sell things. So we set up some smaller subgroups so that we could sort of focus on those areas. But the sort of major news this year was I spent a year building the website. So
Must be very good then.
It's exhausting. we did a soft pilot launch in May of the website, and that's been unbelievable. We've got all these blogs and directory for members, recommendations to sit, and we've also got an offers and discounts page and a jobs board.
How many hits do you get a week?
Well, it's a soft launch and we haven't sort of actively promoted it yet, but we're getting about 5,000 visitors a month, which is great. And that's very organic, which I love. So it means that it's mainly our members who are using it, although we're now being searched sort of all over the place.
You say members, do people have to pay you or something?
No, it's a free resource kit for everyone. And we did the wonderful thing was we did the launch in July to coincide with our second birthday. And Andrea McLean, one of the Loose Women, she was launching her own book about her menopause journey, and she came along to the launch. We did it at a laboratory spa and health club, and we had a whole panel of experts, and we had 100 women come, and they had a spa day, and it was a great day, and I got to explain the background to the group. We launched the website, and it was fantastic. We had a great day. But it's been a crazy year because we also co-hosted a breast cancer conference, which I'm really passionate about. And we had we were invited to speak at a mental health conference about menopause in the workplace. And what else have we done? We also did a live Facebook Live to about 10,000 women It was sponsored by Silk, and we had a whole panel of experts talking about menopause again.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
You've done all this in a year, and now you've become a podcaster, Katie.
Yeah, I'm very excited. This is really lovely, yes.
So, Katie, cancer's very close to your heart. Can you tell us why it is, personally?
I mean, it's close to my heart because my father, I've mentioned before, is a breast cancer professor, and I've seen him for 50 years looking for the cure for breast cancer. You know, his mum died when he was young himself from breast cancer, and he's always had, you know,
is
his...
that your granny, then?
My grandma, yeah. And she suffered terrible pain, and she died far too young, and his mission has always been that no woman will ever have to suffer like she has, and women should lead better and longer quality of lives. And I want to carry on that baton in some small way. You know, I'm not a doctor. I can't do it in that way.
Why aren't you a doctor?
I couldn't do chemistry. Okay. I got a U in chemistry. I had a tutor and everything.
So did I. So did I.
Yes, I'm a communicator. So I think I'm the chatter. Okay. So, yeah. So I focused on marketing and communication, and he was the scientist. So, you know, it's a cause very close to my heart, and I want to do anything I can to help.
And that brings us on to Jodie and Adele, who are our interviewees today, and they've got a cancer story. So can I just introduce first of all, Jodie.
Hi.
And Adele, her mum.
Hello.
And now we're going to go over to Katie, who's going to ask the first question.
Yeah, so Adele and I met through the Latte Lounge Facebook group, didn't we? And Adele approached me to tell me that she had created a fan for women who are going through not just menopause, but hot flushes. And this was because of your daughter, Jodie, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. My daughter, Jodie, was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 25 after giving birth to our gorgeous grandson, Charlie, and he was 4 months old.
And, I mean, that must have been absolutely shocking. Jodie, tell me a bit about what happened. First of all, how old is Charlie now?
He's now 5 years old.
And when did you discover you were... when did you discover this diagnosis?
He was 4 months when I got diagnosed. Obviously, with just having a baby, you're tired, you've got aches, you've got pains, you've got lumps, and you've got bumps. So nothing out of the norm, really. But for me, it was instinct that just kind of pushed me towards a doctor because I was overly tired. And also, I did find a lump, and the pain that I got when my milk came in was horrible. So I kind of push myself to go to the GP, even though they did send me home first of all because I just had a baby, and you know, it's natural to have blocked milk ducts, but my dad's side of the family have a history of breast cancer, so I kind of pushed them and said something's not quite right. I did lose a lot of weight really quickly as well, so you know, that's kind of how it all came about, really.
And Adele, did you think at the first that, you know, possibly Jodie was just a, you know, normal tired mum, and possibly there was, you know, overreacting?
Yes, it never crossed my mind that the lump was breast cancer. My immediate reaction was, as probably 99.9% of people would be, it's a blocked milk duct, you know, just let it calm down and you'll be fine. Don't be such a drama queen. You're not the first person to have a baby.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, I mean, that must have been shocking for you because, Jodie, you were, how old were you?
25.
So, I mean, that's incredibly young, and you've got a, you know, a brand new baby. It must have been absolutely shocking for both of you. So, I mean, tell what happened next then.
So they referred me to a specialist where he confirmed that he could feel a lump. So they biopsied it. And I went, I had to wait a week for the results, and we went, and I actually went with my mum because my now husband was training for rugby, and I just went with my mum, and we just sat there, and it was the weirdest feeling because we were in the waiting room, and I was like, I looked around me and I said, oh, one of these women, their life's about to change. And I said that to my mum because I didn't think it would be me. And then obviously I got the news that it was breast cancer, and it was quite weird because they sent me down straight away to have a mammogram, and then they were like, everything kind of happened at once. And as I was walking down the corridor, it was like, I was walking down, but I was watching myself walk down. I will always remember that. Mm. And it was quite a depressing moment finding out, and then it was just go, 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 what's going on, what do I have to do, what treatment, and, you know, it was really fast-paced after that.
Were you given any sort of emotional counselling during that time? Did they say, explain to you what's going to happen? I mean, did you have time to process what you'd just been told?
For me, I focused on my little one, and the emotional aspect of what was about to happen was very separate. It was go and get everything, doctors, everything, and emotionally and like emotional side of it, that's outside the house. So as soon as I opened the front door, it was all, I'm mummy, I'm happy, and nothing ever changed, because he was so young, and I do believe that he'd be able to like feel like the anxiety and everything if I was kind of went the depression and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was left at the front door, which is really strange, but that's how it worked with me.
So you must have had to sort of have this inner strength that you're actually, you know, going to put that to one side. And I assume, Adele, that you were there looking after Charlie while this was all going on.
Yeah, I moved into Jodie because she had to have a double mastectomy. So I moved in and helped to look after Charlie, as did her sister, brother, my husband, her in-laws, her husband. Everybody pulled in. It was amazing, actually, the support we all got. And as we say, Charlie really was the focus for everybody, because his smile and his still, I mean, he was and still is the most incredible young man. I mean, he's a gorgeous little boy, and he just put smiles on our faces. And because of him, we pulled through it in a way that was a positive way. So, and that's really how I feel. It was almost like he was the miracle that helped us through, and he was the gel that kept us all together and happy and smiling.
Oh, that's amazing. And so you had to have a mastectomy, and did you have a lumpectomy as well?
No.
You had a mastectomy. I mean, sorry, you had your lymph nodes, rather. Was that what happened? Or
I went for a double mastectomy, yeah. Because obviously the risks and my age and everything, so I was allowed to do a double mastectomy. But before the operation, they do this thing where they can find if it's spread into the lymph nodes. So they were pretty sure that it hadn't. So what they do is remove the centennial node before you go in for the double mastectomy, well, before they start the double mastectomy, and halfway through it, my specialist came up and had to deliver the news that it had spread into the lymph nodes. So I went into my operation most likely not needing any chemotherapy, but actually after the operation finding out that I was going to have to go for high dose of chemotherapy because of how quickly it spread into lymph nodes. So
And so after you sort of obviously came out of the operation, what was the recovery like for you? I mean, were you straight into chemo, or did they give you time to recover?
They wanted to start my chemotherapy on the 27th of December, and I begged them not to. I wanted to have my first, like, Christmas and New Year and everything, so I had time to recover. I think I had my operation in the November, and then obviously you need time to heal, because if you're having chemotherapy and you've just had this major surgery, your body will not heal because your immune system. So they gave me time to heal, and then I went in straight for chemotherapy. Oh, did I? Yeah, went straight for chemotherapy. So after that, and then, 6 months of chemotherapy.
And how was the chemotherapy? What were the side effects like, if there were any?
My oncologist was shocked at how I reacted to chemotherapy, considering my age and how healthy I actually was prior. He kind of described it as when you get a medicine and you look at all the side effects, and then you get the lightly to, you know, the least likely. I was everything on the least likely that you'd ever get. I reacted so badly to chemo, and he said in all the years I was the first person he'd seen react the way I did. It was as if my body was allergic to it without actually being allergic to it. And I'd have the chemotherapy on a Friday, and I was taken straight to hospital after each chemotherapy to be rehydrated and given anti-sickness, because I was bad through that. Side effects, you know, when I've spoken to people, they were tired, they might have aches and pains, but my throat burnt away, so I couldn't swallow. I was nauseous. It was horrendous. It was really bad, but yeah.
And you had hot flushes as well. Because was that because of the chemotherapy, or were you thrown into? Did you have your ovaries taken out as well, or was it just a double mastectomy?
No, it was just the chemotherapy which started off the hot flushes, and now it's the medication that I'm on that is put my ovaries to sleep, and I don't produce any estrogen, so I'm going through the menopause without actually naturally going. My tablets are telling my body that I'm going through menopause, so I'm having the hot flush.
Sorry to interrupt. Does that mean you can't have children?
No, I get to. So I'm now in my 5 years. So in May next year, I get to come off my medication, and hopefully try for one baby. I'm only allowed one. Wow. No more.
Okay. The oncologist. Why do they say that?
It's just too much of a risk. I was hormone receptive positive, so my hormones kind of fed the cancer, so to speak. I didn't really read too much about breast cancer when I was going through it because my oncologist advised me not to. So as far as what I kind of understood of it is that the hormones fed the cancer, and that's, yeah, so me being pregnant would up the hormones, which would be too much of a risk, so...
So, and Adele, at the time when this was going through, were you also going through menopausal symptoms?
Yeah, I was going through, well, I started the menopause quite early because I had my, I had a hysterectomy at the age of 35. So I started about 37, but it subsided about when I was about 45. And then when Jodie was diagnosed, I had the hot flushes. They went through the roof. I mean, horrendous. Jodie and I would look at each other and our faces would be right red and we'd be stripping off, and it was horrendous.
Why do you think they came back?
Stress-related. 100% stress-related. And it can be hot flushes.
So you can even go through menopause and then stress can bring it back.
Stress can bring hot flushes back, and I definitely brought them back with a vengeance. I mean, I used to wake up in the middle of the night with terrible hot flushes. I used to be in restaurants, on a train, on an aeroplane. I would just be stripping off. I mean, it was horrendous. But they're internal, so you can't even throw a glass of water over you. I don't think it would cool you down, because it really does come from your boots, and it goes all the way up to the top of your head, and then it's gone within seconds.
So that's why, and then you were looking for solutions to obviously help Jodie, and also to help yourself. So what did you find that originally, or did you find anything that could help?
Well, first of all, because of Jodie having the lymph nodes removed, and she had a double mastectomy, her arms weren't ready available to like be flapping a proper fan or like a menu or even a magazine to, you know, cool her down. And also the big fans, you know, you put them on and it sort of blew her too much. So I sort of did a lot of research, and I was looking, and hence that's how sort of Fan U was created, because it was a fan that could be held very close to the body, and also it's made from the same plastic that Lego's made from, so it's totally harmless. And it gave just the right amount of cool air through, that would actually cool you down without anybody really noticing that you were having a hot flush. And Jodie being so young, she didn't want everybody to know she was having a hot flush, you know, because then questions would be asked. And she didn't want to go over and over the reason why she was having the hot flush.
I mean that's amazing. And so, did it help you when you were in the hospital or when you're at home and traveling?
It helped me a lot, also because with my son as well, because children want to touch and use every single thing that you use. It's like with food, they want to have your food, and it was one of these things that I needed it to be safe enough, obviously, for my son. But again, it helped me in the way that, you know, as soon as I say about hot flush, people are like, "Oh, so why are you having one? No, you're too young to have one." And then I've got to go into the story. So with this, it helped me a lot better. And it can get to, I always find my glands under my neck, that's what needs to cool down, or even my hands need to cool down when I'm having a hot flush. And no other fan could do that for me. Literally no other fan.
Why? Can you describe the fan? Why is it different than others?
Because with the fan, the air comes out of the top. And it's not a
rotary.
Right, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah,
it's not like a fan that we imagine.
No.
Yeah. So, have you got one on you?
Yeah. So
It looks like a mobile.
It looks like a mobile. Yeah. You can't get your fingers trapped in it. Mm. And also, I found that it just kind of stays. It's slim. It fits.
It honestly looks like you've got an iPhone 8 round your neck. Yeah. Yeah, hanging on a cord.
It's stylish.
And it's got no, you know, when I read about these fans, I immediately thought of a fan going round and round. And as you said, the little fingers, imagine a child, you know, they really could hurt themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, so the fact the air comes out of the top.
So can you turn it on? Let's hear it. God, it's really discreet. Yeah, but it still fans you. And you know that they've done studies and actually fanning you makes you hot.
Oh, yeah, because you're using the energy. Yeah. You're using
so actually
energy.
You can sit still and then very, as you say, very discreetly use it, which is the thing.
You know, behind your neck, pull your hair up, put it like, this is a place around your neck that you get so hot and bothered. So, you know, I just find it helps. And also, you know, again, it's child friendly, which was the main thing.
And the reason why I love this story is because, you know, actually it's a very positive story because, you know, this is a mum helping her daughter and we're all mums on the Latte Lounge. And I mean, I can't imagine what you went through as a mum, Adele, but, you know, you just tried to find a solution to help your daughter like any of us would do. And I think it's absolutely amazing. And even more so that, you know, we chatted and got together, didn't we? Because Adele and Jodie, through their fan support, Breast Cancer Now, and so we both give a donation you know, to Breast Cancer Now, so that, you know, we're giving something, both giving something back, and you feel you were doing something positive to help Jodie. But how are you now? I mean,
I was diagnosed 5 years ago. I'm now coming up to my 5 years all clear, which is really good, because the oncologist said when it's 5 years you're back to your chances, obviously, each year go down. So, you know, it's a real big thing to get to the 5 year mark. So, the fact that I do it, and it always coincides with my son's birthday, because I finished chemotherapy the week of my son's first birthday. I begged them to do it, they weren't going to do it, but I begged. So, obviously, his birthday, I know birthdays are big, but his one is always massive. We do huge things for him, so
absolutely, and this is something you've got to celebrate. And I love the fact that we're doing this interview with you just before Christmas, which is obviously when you had, you know, the bad news, and now this is, you know, amazing just before Christmas to have some really uplifting positive news that you're doing well. And Charlie is a gorgeous, you know, 5 year old cheeky monkey running around school. It's just amazing. So, you know, I think you two are, you know, fantastic what you've been through, and I really hope that you go, you know, from strength to strength. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, that was really moving. I mean, I'm just really shocked that at 25 this can happen to you with a child. I mean, it's just the worst timing in the world.
It's absolutely the worst timing. And I found it actually very upsetting hearing about it, because I know when you're a new mum, you just want to cuddle and bond with your baby.
You've been whisked off here, whisked off there. Yeah. And then also breastfeeding, and everything's gone.
Absolutely. You know. So just I think,
you know. Really, really difficult. So let's go on now to some more sort of, well, you know, a positive outcome. But let's talk about Christmas, because come on, we're already talked about it before we came on air, didn't
Absolutely,
we?
Absolutely, yeah.
We're all getting a bit het up about it. Are you organised at all?
Well, yes, we're getting there. I mean, it's just been so busy, you know, on the Latte Lounge, and I've got the lovely Tara and Tracy who are helping me. But it's just, I think since the website launched, we've just sort of created this beast of a thing, and we're all trying to wind down a little bit, but obviously carry on supporting our members throughout. And thinking about next year, and the plans for next year are very exciting for me. I always wanted this group to in some way be able to support cancer research. And what we have been doing in the past is we ask our members to nominate their own charity, and we do a Charity Tuesday thread, and we support and promote them. But I've got to a stage now where I really wanted to align the Latte Lounge with one women's health research charity. And I've had a long chat with my dad, and we've looked at various different charities, and actually we've decided to now, moving forward, support the Eve Appeal. And for those of you who don't know about the Eve Appeal, they look at cancer research at the top five. They raise awareness and funding research into the top five gynae cancers, which are womb, ovarian, cervical, vulva and vaginal cancers. And you know what I'd like to do, because I actually can't believe I'm going to be 50 in April.
Congratulations.
So it should be top tips for women over 50, but we're sticking with over 40 because I'm very young at heart. And so what I want to do next year, my big plan is to have a big Latte Lounge 50th birthday party and coincide it with our third birthday and do it as a fundraiser and try and raise some money for the Eve Appeal through the group. And there's plans. I'm starting to think about how that will look now, but you know, I'm really excited about this because I need this to be a group with a, you know, with a purpose and a heart.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So tell us what, because I know it's an open group, they can discuss anything. What have they been talking about kind of recently? What's the big discussion going on in Malate Land?
Well, it's when you say it's open, it's a closed private group in terms of you have to be approved. So, okay. Obviously.
What I meant was that you can chat about
anything.
Oh, you can
chat in anything. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the topics are vast. I mean, one of the biggest, most worrying things for me is when women come to the group talking about the mental health of their children. It's absolutely shocking how many stories we hear about teenagers who are self-harming, you know, everything from anorexia to, you know, depression and beyond. And actually, for one of our podcasts next year, I'd love to be able to cover that with one of our psychotherapists and a mum, and you know, who's been worried about her child.
Yeah,
because I think, you know, there's so much that needs to be done in that area. You know, I blame a lot of this on social media, peer pressure, actually. You know, I'm a mum of four kids, and
they can also see where their friends are at the time. So if they're having to stay in with their parents because you've got a family meal or something, oh, all my friends are out here doing this. It's, I mean, imagine when we were young, if we looked at a magazine, we'd get jealous. I remember getting like Insecure. But now their whole lives,
everything
is comparing.
Everything. And the one shocking thing which I heard this week from one mum is that her daughter said she wanted to start self-harming. I can't believe this. She wanted to self-harming so she would fit in because all the girls in her class were cutting themselves. And that, to me, is absolutely horrifying that it's not even a mental illness.
It's not even the strange girl in the corner now. It's sort of
it's cool.
It's fashionable.
They think it's cool. Yeah. And for us mums, you know, what I want to be able to do next year is sort of have an event or a talk where we can be given strategies, because we don't know how to handle this. I don't know. You know, you don't know the right thing to do or the wrong thing.
No.
So, you know, that is huge. I mean, it's not all depressing. We've got lovely things going on. You know, we've got women who are coming to the group just to sort of see if anyone's lonely over Christmas. You know, we had this last year, a lovely lady, I think I mentioned.
Mm.
You know, whose daughter had been travelling and she was on her own, and she had lots of members sort of offer her Christmas lunch. And
you really are a community.
We're a community, and we signpost women. You know, I've said before, we get hundreds of private messages that don't make the group.
Because we also have a lot of listeners in the States, in Australia. Do you have listeners, I mean, people that blog and talk to each other from all around the world?
Yeah, so there's 13,000 are UK members and 2,000 are in Australia, America. We've got some in Spain, in France. I mean, all over Israel. We're actually in 69 countries, but it's growing all the time. And that's why I loved, you know, when you came to me to discuss how Radio Gorgeous and Latte Lounge could link up, I loved the idea because you guys are, you know, women only, you know, and you've been running for, is it 8 years or seven?
Yeah,
7 years?
We're eighth year.
Eight years, which is amazing. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, it was a natural thing for us both to link up and, you know, talk about women's issues.
Well, also, the thing about us is that we've always put on Radio Gorgeous what we're interested in, and that's exactly what's happened with you at Latte Lounge.
Yeah.
It comes from your own passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what you're interested in is usually what everybody else, you know, so it's a kind of extension. Also, what's brilliant is we've done it completely without men and without, you know, that's what I'm so proud of. I've totally done this. This is my thing, you know. Most companies, like, they've got someone, a big director in charge or someone that owns them. You know, you think about all the magazines, Cosmopolitan, Elle, everyone. They're still owned by a man, you know. But we're not owned by anyone.
No, and I think that's the beauty of social media. It's let us women who maybe in the past, I mean, I know... for me that I was always very unconfident about my own abilities, actually that we can do this, and we have, and I think it's great. And I love the fact that by doing a podcast with you, I can actually bring, you know, the Lassie Lounge to life a bit. So it's not just this flat sort of 2D Facebook group. You know, we can meet members in the group and hear their voices.
Well, that's what we're going to be doing over the next year or so, aren't we?
Yeah, it'd be wonderful to have a different sort of subject each month and, yeah, really engage with our members. Anyway, if anyone who's listening is interested in joining our Facebook group, it's the Latte Lounge, and in brackets, Top Tips for Women Over 40. And our website that we launched is www.lattelounge.co. And so please join. It's all free and there's lots of resources on there.
And if you're interested in trying one of Jodie and Dale's fans, go to fanu.co.uk, and you can have personalised fans or you can have special Latte Lounge fans.
Yeah, we've had them branded Latte Lounge fans, which is great, especially for all sort of menopausal women, or even if you've got kids going on holiday, or if you're hot, you know, in a concert.
Well, this summer we needed them, didn't we?
Yeah, they did really well in the summer. Yeah, and the girls are obviously selling them for their lovely Christmas presents with sort of crystals, and they can be personalised as well. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
So thank you so much. I'm really excited about, you know, this is our first official one.
Exactly. Yeah. No, great to meet. Thank you to our guests today, Adele.
Thank you very much.
Jodie and Katie.
Thank you, Jodie.
And looking forward to the next Latte Lounge Radio Gorgeous podcast. Happy New Year and Christmas to everybody.
Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks for having me.